This is CliffCentral.com.
It's another one of those really great days.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Welcome to Unplugged and In Charge. This is on Cliff Central. You're chilling with Wizza the Maestro. Wizza that guy. I'm not alone. I'm always here with a couple of really great people. And on my left-hand side, I've got the man of the hour. He's part of the Destiny Top 40 Men Under 40. Welcome to the league, brother, Simpiwe Petras.
Get ready. Yeah, man.
And to my right hand side, I've got the man who's come on out here with some guns today. He's wearing Bulls t-shirt, Bulls cap. He's got Bulls arms as well. Man, he's so on target, on point. He's the Bullseye. It's Mr. Von the Everything.
What's happening, everybody?
Are you guys good?
Yeah, man. We're good, bro.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, let's just have a chat quickly about the day. What has been the highlight of the week? Let's start with you, Von.
Whoa, man, the highlight of the week. Yeah, that's dope. This week, I made some major adjustments to my life.
Yeah?
Yeah, like some decisions. Like, you know, sometimes in life, you hit these crossroads where you have to make a decision. Either go left or right.
Yeah.
Or you kind of stay in between and try and split yourself in two, which usually ends up in you not really going anywhere, right?
Mm.
So I had to make a few big decisions, like cut a few ties with certain things I was doing. And yeah, man, I did that. And that was Tuesday.
Yeah.
And now it's Thursday. So it's like 2 days in, but it feels good.
Feels good.
Yeah.
All right. Good. To cut some things out.
Cut it. You can focus on what really works. Cut it. You feel me?
Away. Yeah. Okay. And Simpiwe, what has been the highlight of the week for you?
Yeah, man. It's been a great week. You know, like, life is great, man. Blessings on blessings on blessings. That's all that's happening in my week. You know, Destiny Top 40 Under 40 was really a great way to start off the week. Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
Shout out. Thanks a lot, man. But yeah, no, God's faithful, you know. He's really presented me with a lot of opportunities. I mean, I've had an amazing time with Gusto Project. We're doing some major things, and I can't wait until the episode's launched. We've been interviewing some really influential people in South Africa, and we're making moves, bro. We're making moves. We're out here trying to get the artist's point of view on some critical issues in South Africa. So, That's what I'm enjoying.
Some can't wait for the episodes to air so the DMs can light up.
Boy,
relax, bro. Relax.
It's spice, bro. You like spice. You know that. I told you, bro. That's why I vibe with you, dog. You always adding spice to things.
It's going down in the DMs, bro.
In a real way.
Especially when you are when your episodes air. I see you, bro.
So how's your week going? What's the highlight, buddy?
Well, I think the highlight is tonight. I'm emceeing the Global Clean Tech Innovation Program Awards right here in South Africa. So that should be a pretty big thing. So
the Global Clean Tech. Green energy.
Yeah, it's about green energy and guys who've really done big things in that space. Trying to make sure that the future of our country looks greener, I guess. Yeah.
So legalize marijuana, it'll definitely look greener.
Hey.
I'm playing. That's Von, really dope, though.
Von is the guy that your mom warned you against.
That's true, though. I told you guys, I'm not a role model. I'm a leader, bro.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
Yeah, you're a leader by living your life.
I ain't a role model, though.
Yeah, no role models.
Nah, no role models, bro. It's cool.
Okay. Well, if you say so.
Nah, man.
Now, one of the really big highlights, something that's still coming up, is, of course, Rules of Engagement.
Yeah, that's
dope. This is now just a few days away. I mean, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
This Saturday. So, I mean, if you haven't RSVP'd yet, I mean, the event is free, guys. We're trying to make sure that it's something really great and positive where young people can, you know, sit around the table and discuss things that are, you know, about gender privilege, things about, you know, why are men cheating or maybe why women cheating.
Yeah.
And
marriage.
Yeah.
Relationships.
All those things.
It's important because we always talk about, like, dialogue. We always talk about it. Like, let's have dialogue. We need more dialogue in the country. Yeah. We need to talk more openly about things. So we were like, cool, let's put something together where that can happen.
Light it up.
Yeah, if you haven't felt like that, you should just pull through.
And I mean, the difference is that we always have women seminars and this and that about women empowerment.
Yeah.
But the challenge is we never have women and men sitting together, because sometimes women are talking about the challenges they have in the workplace, the challenges they have at home, but yet the men that they need to be speaking to aren't there in these dialogues, especially when it's the seminars and those type of things. So now for the first time, we decided, let's have it now, the realest talk in the country. We have 50 guys, 50 girls, and we debate on some really touchy subjects. And yeah, I think I have a feeling it's going to be a lit conversation.
It's going to be too lit, bro. Like, yeah. It's going to be very interesting. The thing that I love is that we're going to be talking like we normally talk as the boys or when the girls talk about guys, but everybody's going to be there, and you're going to have to defend yourself, and you're going to have to carry your point across.
Yeah.
Because if you don't defend yourself, nobody else will out there.
Yeah. I mean, here's the cool thing about everything is that we still have space for you. There's about 80%. I think it's about 80% full. There's still about, 20 seats remaining. So you can still RSVP. Inmail info@unpluggedandincharge.com with your name and gender. That's pretty much as simple as it is. It's going to be happening in Rosebank. This is the Standard Bank Incubator.
Yeah.
And to get there is so simple. Like, if you take the Gautrain, for instance, you get off at the Gautrain. Opposite the road, there's Standard Bank already. And, you know, the guys from Unplugged and In Charge will be dressed in all black. And we'll be able to direct you to the venue.
And can we actually get more guys to come through? Like, can the gents pull through?
We need, in a real way. Yeah. I mean, I know that often in our seminars, you always hear, what about the women? But this time the women have pulled through.
Yeah.
So now I don't want it to say, what about the guys? Come on, guys.
Let's come up in a real way, dog. Because at the end of the day, these women are going to drive over us if we're not there. I'm here for the guys in a real way. So I'm going to be there defending the guys. But I need some support from the gents in a real way.
Yeah, hashtag Asnavalu.
Asnavalu.
Okay, cool. True. So, I mean, today's conversation really is centered around, you know, the whole victim mentality that people always seem to talk about. I think every time when we say, hey, we want to empower young people and so on, we always hear a lot of people say, yeah, you need to empower them because everyone's got this victim mentality. And we're thinking, how about this victim mentality? Can we zoom in on it? I mean, the theme is the black man or the black woman still a victim of poverty in postmodern South Africa? I mean, we've looked at a lot of, you know, things changed throughout the decades. Does the African child have equal opportunities to construct a future that is bright and prosperous for him or her and for their family? And what are some of the solutions going forward around, you know, this type of theme? Is the black man still a victim of poverty in postmodern South Africa? What do you guys think?
I'll be honest, bro. If the black child wasn't a victim, there wouldn't be things like Fees Must Fall, first and foremost, and there wouldn't be a march today at the Union Buildings. I'll be honest, at the same time, if I wasn't on radio today, I would be at the Union Buildings, because I think there's a huge injustice out here in our country, and we all have a part to play. This is not a fight for students or people that are studying right now, but really a platform that we need to use to address the various injustices we face. So when it comes to education, there's huge injustice. The black child is a victim of poverty in postmodern South Africa. It's not just in education. There's a lot of other things that we can talk about, but right now the main talking point is really education.
I feel like we have to be very careful how we use postmodern South Africa. Like, we have to be careful when we use that word, because I think that's the word that's misled everybody.
Yeah.
Like, postmodern South Africa, right? That kind of leans towards, you know, the concept that South Africa, like, you know, changed into some new beast. But, like, in reality, it changed. Like, nothing is definitely where it was. Everything is different. But in certain fundamental ways, a lot of things are still the same.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about modern, postmodern South Africa, or we use the terminology, or we refer to something like that, we need to be careful, because I think that's also what the problem is. The problem is that it hasn't changed enough. The problem is that we've kind of like pretended it has. You know what I'm saying? So like when we say that, we've got to be careful, because you know, structurally and systematically, things haven't changed enough to warrant something new. Right? It's new because now what should just be normal is normal, like white people and black people living in the same spaces or whatever the case is. But, you know, structurally and stuff, like a lot of things haven't changed. And it's not necessarily got to do now, you know, all the way between white and black or in all circumstances. And in a lot of them, it still is. But in others, it's now like become a thing of haves and have-nots and you know, and government and all that type of thing. So what it's become is different, but many elements of what South Africa is today is still hasn't changed yet. And that's why, you know, things like Fees Must Fall and all these movements are happening, because people have recognized that. You know, they've seen it. They've been like, yo, man, it's like 20 years after some things should have changed, nothing's happened. Like, this is too much now. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we need to be careful about what we call a postmodern South Africa.
And what's the solution? I think that's a fundamental thing, you know, because in our South African history, protesting is the only way you seem to develop a solution. Is there any other way? You know, these are discussions we need to have.
Yeah, I think the other way is, like, you know, why do we protest? Why do the people feel like they need to, like, do all this stuff just to be heard? It's because they're not being heard. So, like, the solution would be for whoever is in power to just start hearing. You know what I'm saying? Like, people need to start hearing what people are saying without having to go that far. You know what I'm saying? So, like, a lot of the time we find ourselves in situations where we're throwing bricks just because our voices are not being heard. So, like, the solution in my mind, you know, lies with the people that have the power.
Yeah.
You know? And it's up to them to decide whether they're going to use what they have to be a solution or to just be a part of the problem. And of late, it just seems that they've been a part of the problem. So, you know, when it comes to a solution, it's either that we have to hope that these people, like, that have the power, you know, come to their senses, or it ends up being something that we have to do. And unfortunately, the way we have to do things ends up being done in a way that you know, things have been handled now, and it gets a little bit crazy, because we are not in a position of power. We need our voices to be heard. We need to make statements, and that's why things like this happen, bro.
It's actually quite crazy. I'm actually seeing a video on Twitter right now of students arriving at union buildings, and, you know, it would be nice when students are trying to occupy union buildings that government officials meet the students at union buildings. In an ideal world, that's what would happen, but right now students are being met by cops. And I don't know if that's necessarily the right way to do things.
Yeah,
you know?
It's such a crazy thing. Like, what I've learned about this whole situation is, like, it's funny how, you know, because we, you know, where we live and the freedom we enjoy in our country, we must mention that South Africa as a nation, bro, we're very free.
Yeah.
We've got a lot. We can say a lot. We can do whatever. I mean, like, bro, some of the things South Africans say on the internet and in conversation in another country, yes, bro, you'd be killed.
Dog.
Like, you can't speak like that, right? So we got a very free democracy, and we got to be appreciative of that, because let that thing disappear, you're going to see South Africans lose their minds, because what we're too used to that freedom, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have to be appreciative of that, number one. But then, you know what, bro, the other thing is, like, yo, where was I going with this, dog? I got sidetracked.
We're talking about cops and everything.
Oh,
and,
damn.
Oh, it's real, dog. Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe it's Nadia. She's looking too pretty, dog, next to me. Nah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's crazy. That's what I learned. Like, it's crazy how someone's rights can, and when you fight for your own rights, can sometimes infringe on the rights of others. You know, like how I saw those kids throwing, like, having a little bit of a chat around how they also have a right to finish their education.
Yeah.
And how, you know, yes, we have a right to free education, but right now we also have a right to finish ours. So these things are starting to clash within students, and it becomes a very difficult, like, space to operate in, because so many rights and so many different things that people feel. You know, this is where we need people with the power to make decisions.
Yeah.
You know, to make
and
it okay.
And be leaders, dog.
Yeah. So it's tough, dog. It's tough.
Yeah, and I think what you're mentioning there now is quite profound. In one side, these guys are saying, look, let us all suffer so that when we win for everyone. It's a win for your kids.
Yeah.
It's a win
sacrifice
for the future.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're saying, let's all sacrifice. And some are saying, hey, man, I don't know about the sacrificing thing, because I'm just trying to graduate.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to be out.
Yeah. I met a gentleman who was who's just left with, like, a few things, and then he gets his degree, you know, and he was just saying, hey, man, this Fees Must Fall thing must stop now. And I mean, he's a black dude. I mean, is he privileged? I don't know. But who are the people saying that Fees Must Fall must stop? Is it the people that just want to graduate, or are these people who are privileged?
I think it could be a combination of both. But I think at the end of the day, what it is that people are different, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you get people that are revolutionists, and you get people that are just not.
Yeah.
You know, and that's cool too, because not everybody's got to be like a Julius Malema. Not everybody's got to be a Weza. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, not everybody's passionate about the same things, and that's what, you know, us as a democracy and as a free country also need to, like, accept. You know, some people don't have an opinion on these things. They don't actually care. And at the end of the day, that's cool, because that's your life, and you're allowed to dictate how your life should be lived. So a lot of these kids are saying, like, man, what's going to change? Is anything going to fall? Are we just losing our minds? Like, we just want to finish. You know, we've been doing this for 3 years. Damn, man, it's my honors. I'm just trying to get this done so I can try and get some work or like start a business or like free myself. You know, so it's a little bit difficult. And I also feel sorry for kids in matric.
Yeah,
like, dude,
bro.
Imagine kids in matric right now. They don't know what's going to happen now. They're trying to finish. And then do we go to university next year? What happens? Like, it's an intense situation, you know. So I kind of understand why some people are to some degree fed up. You know, with these protests. But at the same time, I also understand why these protests are continuing. So it's a very difficult situation.
The scary thing for me is the fact that there's a lot of division among the students now. There's no clear leadership. Like you said, everybody's got the right to do what they want because it's their life at the end of the day. But how will we ever move forward if there's no unity? You know, will a solution arise if there's no unity? And what do other people have to, what other roles do people have to play apart from being a student in devising the solution going forward? Because if there is no unity and there aren't people getting involved and trying to engage and develop solutions, where's the solution going to come from? Because government clearly is not willing to engage. Students are trying to get the attention of government. And, you know, it's a catch-22. People are going to school. People are going to protest. Some people are going to graduate and study like a UNISA student from the University of Pretoria.
Yeah.
Some students are really just out there, revolutionaries. So there are sacrifices and things that we need to play. But where does the solution come from? That's my biggest question.
Yeah, it's I think it's going to be an ongoing like discussion, ongoing journey.
I mean, 40 years ago with the Afrikaans Must Fall movement back then, though they didn't have hashtags back then, way before hashtags, as Drake would say. I mean, even back then, I think there was probably still some sort of division. You know, some wanted Afrikaans to just be banned totally from black schools and so on. And they felt like, why do we have to do Afrikaans? And some were like, well, Afrikaans is okay. It kind of like gives us an edge when we get into the industry because... Yeah. The market and the economy is ran by Afrikaners, so let's just at least know how to communicate with them, you know. So I'm sure even back then there were these divisions, you know. Yeah. I mean, so divisions are not necessarily a new thing, and it does not mean that any of the successful revolutions of the past never had any divisions within
them. Will always be different people. But the question was like, is the black man still a slave to poverty? And like, I think, because of those systematical things I spoke about, like earlier, I think of course, bro. I think it's just one of those things that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be something that is addressed like with immediate effect, so that we actually create a better Africa.
Cool. So, I mean, that was the question: is the black man still a victim in postmodern South Africa? And we're welcoming your VNs as well. I'm seeing VNs come in from the Unplugged and In Charge group. There's like a WhatsApp group full of superstar leaders, and they send us a thing or two regarding what they think as well. Here's one from Cede.
Yeah, damn straight he is. The thing is, the urban black man has a lot of challenges to overcome that the urban white man doesn't. For example, black tax. Once they graduate, they inherit this responsibility and this burden to take care of their family, whereas white graduates don't have that. And this allows them to exhaust other entrepreneurial decisions to make more money. And if we look at mass media, from Fox News all the way to reality TV shows, we go to magazines, circle back to newspapers, they all depict these derogatory images of black people, these poor black people. And now this affects the urban black man because now he is indistinguishable from the so-called images used to market to white audiences. And now we also see this in effect with insurance and mortgage bond risk analysis. The black man and the white man who are at the same financial standpoint, the black man will be seen as a higher risk than the white man just because he is black.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, man, that's true. And like, that's the whole thing when it comes to like privilege. Like, you know, I mean, white people are privileged to not be seen in that light. White people have been privileged to be always seen as something superior. So these type of things is exactly like the common goals that we're gonna create and we're gonna address, because we can't really operate in a free and equal society if that's the mentality. But at the same time, you know, one thing I've realized too is that, you know, a lot of the time the future is not built fighting the old.
Yeah.
You know, it's building the new.
Yeah.
So at the same time, like, don't waste too much energy worrying about the old white man that's on Fox News right now. Fuck that guy. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be saying that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just got to try and find new ways to rather build, like, build a new way of thinking instead of, like, wasting so much of our energy fighting these, like, these old cats are never going to change, you know?
Mm. Okay, well, we also got a VN coming from Dumi. Here's what she had to say.
Hi, guys. I'm Dumi. During the apartheid era, a lot of government spending went towards infrastructure that served the white community. These are the choices that promoted poverty and broadened inequality in our nation. 22 years into democracy, South Africa is still dealing with consequences of poor fiscal choices made in the past. Income and gender inequality are very prominent in our modern society, and in most cases, men still earn more than women, and rates differ between races for the very same job. Even post-apartheid, inequality still persists. The World Bank's Gini Index indicates that inequality in South Africa has increased from 56.6 in 1995 to 65 in 2011. Currently in South Africa, we range between 66 and 70. So yes, the black man still remains a victim of poverty and inequality. And if the black man is still a victim, can you imagine where the black woman stands?
Okay. That girl sounded like if a pen could speak. You know what I'm saying? That felt like it was written down. Like, where'd you read that from? Wikipedia.
I think she's like a debate champion.
It's
like,
fine.
I could hear
factual.
And that's the cool thing about her. You know, she's not just talking about opinion, but
she went and did some research.
What she's saying is 100% right. It's true. It's very true. Like, that's what's cool about our guest today. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've got a successful black woman doing her own thing in South Africa, and now that's the cause. What she said at the end there was like, imagine where it puts a black woman. Now that's another level, though. That's another conversation, because at the same time, we don't ever really put our shoes or our feet in, you know, the heels of a black woman or an African woman, because things get tricky when you start going into that space, because it's a whole other level, bro. It's a whole other level.
I think I need to absorb that one more time from Tumi, like, because she went in, yo.
Ah, dog, facts.
Ah, she went in.
Yeah.
Facts on facts.
65%. Wow, that's staggering stats, eh?
It's a lot, though.
All right. Well, talking about a black woman doing well, and where do black women stand? I've got Nadia Nakai.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. I mean, you've been hearing what we've been chatting about today, and we really had a interesting question now. Where does that put the black woman?
Yeah, you know what? Like, I could hear the passion in her voice when she was talking, because as black women, we want our men to succeed.
Yeah.
And she's also frustrated at the fact that it's like, because of the situation that happened in our country, some races may have had a head start to our race.
Head start.
You know what I mean? And we're just trying to catch up. And as women, we're fighting the inequality between our own race.
Yeah.
It's not just other races. In our race, we have our own inequality battles that we have to kind of fight against. And it's also the same thing in hip-hop. It's the same thing wherever industry you are. Women are always seen as the lesser species.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter what race you're in. So,
yeah.
I get what she's saying, and I'm also very passionate about it. You know, it's just the way that the barriers that we need to try break through as people.
That's very dope, because you know, I had a conversation with somebody a while back. It's actually like a year ago, and she was telling me, like, you know, one of the things that she picks up a lot about a black man in today's, you know, society is that he'll come home. And let's say he'll come home and complain about how racist his boss was to him. Like this white man, bada, bada, bada. But as he comes home and while he's complaining about that, and that's his mentality, he'll come home and oppress his wife.
Exactly.
And
not see fault in that.
Yeah, not see fault. That's almost the norm. So she was like, she was saying, you know, the reality is that you can never be a sexist.
Mm.
You can never not be racist and be sexist.
Yeah.
These things work together. Prejudice is prejudice. So if you are sexist, you can't fight racism.
Yeah.
You need to understand the dynamics.
Suppression.
So that need to understand the fundamentals so that you can change it.
So basically, you really need to be objective on 100%, because you can't be objective on this point, racism, and then be subjective when it comes to sexism, because a lot of things arise from culture, you know? There's a lot of cultural things that dictate how the man is supposed to be this type of guy, and he's supposed to be there, the woman's supposed to be there. But we need to clear those barriers, and we need to start really opening up and talking and discussing and engaging the way forward. Because if we don't talk about it, it'll never be solved, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, Nadia said something interesting now. She said, in hip hop, it's like that too. So it's cool to like have a guest from a different discipline, because we speak a lot in general. Mm-hmm. Like, we got like a lot of the views that come, you know, from a very general perspective. It's cool to delve into like different people's, you know, industries and skill sets, and figure out how this thing sort of filters into all of that, you know. So if you're talking about it in the hip hop space, what, you know, what have you experienced, or how do you feel about that shit?
You know what, it's difficult. Firstly, I just want to talk on the topic that you guys don't give people to interject. Like, what's the point of having a guest? Well, you're talking about where the woman, where the man comes home and he's complaining about racism. And
oh, yeah, you can go. Yeah, you want to go on there.
I was just like, it's the same thing with a lot of men against gay men. It's the same concept where they feel that's different. And I feel like that shouldn't be a case, because if it's different for you, then for the white man who's being racist towards you feels that it's right and everything else is different.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that. But we also need to tackle those issues where straight men feel like gay men are lesser or disrespect them in some way, or they shouldn't be around them, because that is a hectic thing that's happening in South Africa, because we're focusing on fighting racism and equality and stuff, but then it's like gay people are just overlooked. You know, and I don't like that. It's the same kind of concept.
And in the lesbian space, is it the same?
I think, well, women embrace women and guys like lesbians. So I don't think they have the same issue as, I don't know, I could be wrong, but yeah. I feel like guys find it very exciting, two girls doing the deed. Mm. And women are just nurturing. They're not going to be like, oh my gosh, you're lesbian, I can't be around you. We just girls. We normally like, I've kissed a girl, but I'm not lesbian. It's kind of like more
and you
of
like
a...
it.
But you know what I mean? It's like more acceptable for women. But for guys, it's like this macho thing. Like, you can't be near me. Or is he looking at me? Why is he talking to me? It's more of a aggressive thing towards them, which is not... Women are not aggressive. We loving, nurturing people naturally.
It's crazy. I think you're right. But I also think that the view from a guy's point of view of what a lesbian is and what lesbian encounters are is also slightly distorted because of like porn and movies and things like that. Like in reality, you know, I don't think what these guys have this fantasy of is almost like what is possible in the world. I think, you know, lesbian people, it's a lifestyle they choose to pursue, and it's one just like a gay man chooses to pursue, which is perfectly fine. I mean, everybody's supposed to live how they want to live.
Yeah.
And I do think like there's an element though amongst females, maybe you can correct me, is like when you coming to an encounter with a woman who is lesbian and is openly so and visibly so and etc., there is a little bit of a weirdness because you're not sure, you know, how to approach, or is it not like that?
I don't know. For me, it's not. It's not like I've been hit on by lesbians, but I'll never be aggressive towards them to get away from me. I'll never talk badly about a lesbian being near me or the fact that they hit on me. Whereas with men, it's a bit different. It's like, it's an anger. It's like, how dare you disrespect me by...
That's
my point, is that actually...
It's like a phobia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And it shouldn't be like that. Just calm down. No one is trying to rape you.
That's so true.
Really?
They're not trying to jump you, bro.
No.
It's cool. It's cool, man. He just thinks you're good looking.
Yeah. You know, a little fruity.
Yeah.
I won't lie, but I've been grabbed by guys at the club. It's quite...
Grabbed?
It's quite dicey out there.
Was it a grab, squeeze, and run?
Hey, bro. It gets dicey out there. Like, that's all I can say. But I want to go back to the conversation, and I want to understand from you, Nadia, what's your view on the free education march at union buildings and everything? The black child is struggling in a real way, and they out there trying to do things.
Okay, so I have two things that I want to say. One, I feel like it's amazing that our youth have felt like we have the power to speak on things that we're not happy with.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, because a lot of young people sometimes feel too scared to like stand up to a government. Not just elderly people, but the fact that these people govern our country, which I applaud. My thing, on the other hand, is that violence, I feel like, is never the answer.
But
I feel in this situation, it's made people feel... That's why there's like a lot of cops and a lot of situations. You're saying the union builders, and it should have been like the leaders and not the cops. But people in our country are taking this opportunity and turning it around into something else, because people are now looting stores. And I know it's not the students. It's like people that are staying on the streets or whatever, and they see what's going on and they see the chaos and they're trying to take advantage of that. And now they're actually making youth seem unruly. I know that people that are studying are smarter than that. Education is always the freedom of the mind. They're not going to use that opportunity to loot a Puma store. But now, because it happened while you guys were rallying, it looks like students are unruly. Students don't know what they want. They're taking advantage and they want to steal instead of an education, but they're fighting for free education. It just... That's what pisses me off, really, is that the elder people that are in that area, and just be bystanders or support the cause, but don't use that opportunity to benefit yourself by robbing stores and tipping over shit. It's just...
Burning cars.
Yeah, just stick with the purpose of it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, that part just annoys me.
I think like a lot of the time though, even when intentions are good. Yeah. You know, things like protests are not the easiest thing to keep to keep under control, because it's like emotions, man. It's people's emotions. It's everybody's like economic situation, which is so vastly different in South Africa. You know, some people see life completely different to us. Some people see that like, yo, there's an opportunity for me to like just be fed for 2 months. Yeah. You know, so.
Actually, your point is that there's a lot of issues that need to be tackled. Yeah,
a lot of injustice.
It's not, it's not just the fact that education is too high. Because, I mean, I went to Monash. Monash fees was so expensive that I ended up having to take a student loan because I had to take that burden off my mom, you know? And there's a lot of students out there that want to get an education, but they physically can't pay for it. And I know in some countries like Zimbabwe, education is free for like the longest time.
Yeah.
And that's why when you go to Zim, you will always find someone that can speak English. It doesn't matter if you are a kiosk owner, it doesn't matter if you're cleaning the streets. If you go up to him, he can speak English and communicate with you. Whereas in South Africa, it's a bit different. If you're in different places, you're not going to find everyone that can actually fluently speak English.
It's actually,
and that should be your rights.
What you're saying is very interesting, because people think that free education will not mean quality education.
No.
Whereas in Zimbabwe, yes, they have the economical challenges, but that's different, because that came from something else. It didn't come from the education system.
Yeah.
But the guys who are educated from Zim come to South Africa and they kill. Like first year, man, they glide because they feel like the things are so easy. The standard is so low.
Yeah.
Whereas, so they had free education, and but their education was higher than ours.
Yeah.
And almost everyone is fairly educated there.
Yeah. The bare minimums were handled there. That's the thing. Yeah. So that's why you can communicate with everyone. I think that's everyone's right to be able to communicate with anyone that you want to. There shouldn't be a language barrier, especially in South Africa, because we're so ahead when it comes to other third world countries in Africa.
And we do have a language barrier, because that's why they have to have certain ads done in Zulu, because they know that there are people who won't understand the English.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why they have to translate things in other languages, because not because it's convenience, but because they know that there's an education problem and a language barrier. Mm. Not everyone understands the universal language.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm of the firm belief that artists have more influence than politicians in the time we live.
Yeah.
So Nadia, from your point of view, what do you think is the solution? Out of like maybe not even just free education, but all the injustices we face in our country, what's the solution?
Well, one thing I know about artists and the digital age is that we have a lot of clout. So when we say something, a lot of people listen, a lot of people retweet, a lot of people follow. And that is probably the only power that we can use. We don't have power to make decisions where it's important.
Yeah.
We have power to get people together and focus on one aim. But at the end of the day, the decision is with the people that govern our country. We cannot change that. We cannot be in the same rooms as them and have the same discussions as them. At the end of the day, it's really just our influence, and we need to make sure that we're influencing people the right way and not the violent way.
Exactly.
To make sure that everything is cordial.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And with all these students getting arrested, it's crazy. I just saw on Twitter now, one of the student leaders at the University of Pretoria, Naledi Chirwa, just got arrested from her home at 5 a.m. this morning. From her home. It says, at 5 a.m. this morning, police arrested Naledi Chirwa in her home in Mamelodi, saying she contravened Fees Must Fall court order. How is she in Mamelodi and contravening all of that? Like, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this is interesting. I think what they're doing now, government is trying to be smart. They're trying to take out all the guys that are influential within the students.
Yeah.
Yes. Because, I mean, I was driving past Tux and I saw one of the EFF guys. There's this tall dude. We interviewed him a while
Amla,
ago.
Amla,
yeah. Yes, yes. Amla is also one of the, you know, the really influential guys at Tux. He's from the EFF side. And he was walking with like 4 or 5 other guys. And I'm like, shucks, this is Mandela of this day.
Yeah.
You know, these type of guys can't walk alone anymore because the police are looking for them.
Yeah.
They're targeted, and they're doing this for the future in a way, you know.
I love that.
And it's not just him alone. I mean, now it's the guy from the Dlamini dude from Wits, they arrested him as well. Same type of vibe. Then they say, no, we can't give him bail. You could give Oscar bail for shooting someone.
Yeah.
You could give so many other people bail for so many crazy things.
Just confirmed that Amla was granted bail. So he's about to get out. But it's crazy.
But why was it a hassle to get
out? Yeah. I mean, you see what I mean? So they're trying to say the only way to stop the students is to
take away the leaders.
Yeah. And then all the others will just sit back. And they have another thing coming if they think that's the case. Because, I mean, students they're not listening to one person saying, hey, fees must fall. And then everyone's like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. If he says so, then yes, fees must fall.
It's a collective belief.
It's a collective belief.
They're all affected by it.
This thing was suppressed for many years, guys. I know so many of my uncles and people related to me, or maybe just friends, who have, you know, tried to study, but then because of financial situations, they couldn't carry on.
Yeah.
And then they had to drop out.
Yeah,
they've
me
got,
too.
You know what I mean? Black people know so many friends and family that say, you know what, I was studying, I was like a second year, then I dropped out because I didn't have money, and I'm working now, hopefully I can save some money and I'll go back. And sometimes they never get to going back.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that, you know what, maybe you, my child, you'll go to school and you'll go for us as well. And I mean, that story is the story for the last 20 to 40 to 50 years. And now, for the first time, the young people of today are saying, hey man, we're tired of hearing all our uncles say the same thing.
Yeah.
And we're tired of the fact that we feel like it's going to happen to us as well.
Yeah.
So that's why we're saying, guys, let's just talk. For the first time, the government is, you know, not as unruly as it was back in the days of apartheid. They wouldn't just shoot you now. Well, we thought they wouldn't. I think that's why this uprising is so
strong. It's boiling
point,
bro. Like, it's literally boiling point. Enough with the complaining and talking. It really is a time of action, because it's been 20 years of democracy and nothing has really shifted, you know.
I think it's a hectic situation, but I want to switch gears quickly, just real quick. I want to ask you something, Nadia, about you directly in a sort of your space that you're in, right? So you've had, so well done, first of all, like, you've come up like really well, like,
thank you.
I think you've got like a lot of buzz and you're doing good, you know.
Thanks.
It's good to see that, and it's also good to see it like from like the challenges that you've had, like, on the way, and you know, that kind of stuff. So it's really good to see that you've overcome that, and it's almost like a nice statement to make, because you made reference to it earlier about like being a woman and being a black woman, and you know, that's kind of like another part of our content, and it's you know, it's really inspiring to see that as a black woman you've endured those things and you've made the right moves, right?
Yeah.
Obviously it comes with its challenges just by being a woman, you know what I'm saying? And you've also had to push through those. But I think one of the most important things about all human beings is like the industries and the situations we find ourselves in are dictated, the outcomes are dictated by the way we perceive them and the way we believe in them, right? So if you believe something about hip hop, you believe something about your career, you believe something about yourself that you'd like to translate into your career, and that's kind of like what pushes you through, because you kind of have that belief in yourself and what you believe hip hop and what you believe females in hip hop should be seen as, right? So it pushes you through. Now, in that space, right, one of the major things, I think, you know, being a fan of hip hop,
I'm about to lose your point, my boy.
You know what I mean?
No, trust me. The question's gonna come. So one of the major things I think that you know, should happen with females in hip hop is them being able to express themselves as artists, but also not be judged on anything that's got to do with sexuality.
Okay.
Because I feel like a lot of female artists, especially in the rap game, are always oppressed in a sexual way, you know, by other fans or by listeners.
Yeah.
So you, in your own space, like, how do you manage your rap career and your sexuality as a female? How does that merge?
Okay, well, for one, I think women... Okay, so for me, personally, I've always been in touch with my sexuality and my femininity. I'm not trying to be one of the boys. And I've always pushed that in my appearance, I'm going to be a girl's girl, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that the funny thing about that point is that I actually get a lot more flack from women than men about it.
Oh, wow.
You would think that women would rally behind and say, oh my gosh, she's so liberated and she doesn't care what people think. But it's actually the women that are like kind of fighting me on it. Mm. And I'm still trying to understand that. I'm still trying to understand that dynamic of what is the switch there. Like, you want us to represent you, but we must represent you as a covered up male looking woman. Mm. I don't know what the situation is there. Mm. So I'm trying to understand that, but this is something that I've noticed a lot. And at the end of the day, in hip hop is difficult.
Yeah.
You know it. Everyone knows that hip hop is a hard thing to get into.
Yeah.
It's a very young genre in our country.
Yeah.
And just like the men are trying to find their grip and where they are, women are trying to do that as well. And we're going to make a lot of mistakes and we're just going to have to grow from that. But at the end of the day, people need to understand that I see myself, I'm not like oppressed by sexuality.
Mm.
I see myself as a brand. I see myself how Beyonce sees herself, Rihanna sees herself, Nicki Minaj sees herself. Mm. I literally package myself that way. And people, you'll never please everybody. People will always have something to say about what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But there will be people that rally behind you, and those are the people you do it for. So at the end of the day, I'm just being true to myself. I'm going to shake my ass, and I'm going to twerk, and I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to wear bikinis, and I'm going to look hot.
Flourish,
you know, I'm going to flourish, babe. Yeah. I'm a slay. I'm a slay. Yeah. But at the end of the day, people will always have something to say about that. But in their heads, I know that they secretly want to do that. Yeah. They want to be able to have the courage to do that. But instead of not having the courage to, they'd rather just bring the person down.
Have you experienced, like, it's interesting, like, that you had flack from females in this space. And I can almost understand it, though. I get it. Like, I understand why they would. Like, I get it. It's weird, but I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, from a male's perspective, so from, like, being in the rap game and doing what you're doing, don't you ever feel if you're around other guys or rappers or whatever the case is, industry people, that they expect you to subdue your confidence? Or do you feel like your confidence intimidates them?
Well, yeah, I feel like my confidence intimidates them. My thing is that I'll never be lesser of me for anyone that's around me.
Right,
so
cool.
I think sometimes it does intimidate them. And also the fact that the way that I uphold myself, I respect myself a lot. I value myself a lot. And people can get that from me. I've noticed that people can see how I value myself. I'm not a little ratchet hoe. I'm not a person that's like all over niggas. And when I walk into the room, I can feel the respect that they have for me.
Because you're being yourself, which is something that's beautiful. You know, too many people are trying to fit under labels, but you're really just being yourself. And that's the most powerful thing, you know?
Do you think you're in a relationship?
No, not anymore.
You're not anymore. Oh, okay. I was going to ask, do you think that being in a relationship helps you not be all like...
I think so. I think it did. I think it did. But it also, being in a relationship, gave that distance to people. Didn't feel like they could...
They could try.
No, not even that. Thought that they could get to know me.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it was always that arm's length. It's like, oh, Nadia, oh, yeah, we fuck with her, but there's that arm's length.
Oh, okay.
But now that I'm single, people are now, okay, let's see who Nadia's about. And they're still getting that value that I have for myself, which is great.
When we talk about value, like, I always have this thought, right? Like, you know... Everything, we all make up our own minds about what respecting ourselves is. Because for me to respect myself, like, I might respect myself and I believe this is self-respect, but to somebody else it might not be, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's true? Do you think that how you see, like, you, how you mentioned it, like, you were speaking, you said, I'm not all over guys, I'm not ratchet, I'm not a ratchet, like, hoe, you know, type of thing. Do you think that girls that do that don't respect themselves? Or do you think they just respect themselves in a different way?
I think they respect themselves in a different way, but the way that guys receive that is different.
Okay.
What I've noticed is that if you're going to be all over the place, the level of respect for you as a woman changes from a guy's perspective.
I think it's the intention, eh? That's the biggest thing.
Do you think that's a problem with the guy or the girl?
I think maybe both. Eh?
Yeah.
I think it's definitely, I can't put it all on the girl. I think it's definitely both, because at the end of the day, some girls just love having fun. Some girls are just like, they wild, they love having fun, but they're not hoes. They're not ratchet.
But now that's exactly what my point was. I was saying that I think guys are too locked.
Yeah,
do you know
I
what
think
mean?
So.
You have predetermined ideas of what a girl should be.
Exactly.
Like. And those predetermined ideas are based off like, of fundamentals that are from patriarchy and sexism and like history.
Exactly.
You know, so we got
to agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dudes have to. Unfortunately, the world has put guys in positions of power.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for women, from a woman's perspective.
Yeah.
Well, I am aware of those. Most guys should be these days aware of that and try and address them, right?
Yeah.
But the reality is that it exists. So for me, the fight is like, yo, dude, just because that girl likes to twerk, likes to dress
and
sexy,
have fun,
likes to have sex, likes to be sexually expressive, does not mean she can't be a boss, does not mean she can't be a lady, does not mean she can't be respected, does not mean she can't be successful.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean that's all she wants to do. So what if she likes to have sex? She can still do that and do what she does.
So basically, unplug
guys,
your perception.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Unplug your perception completely, because you keep limiting your own growth as well as
another person.
And
what right do you have to limit somebody else's growth, you know?
It's crazy.
It's a very dicey
thing. But I think
that's
something that's really alive in SA hip hop. It's exactly that mentality, that people think that if you're just a girl that's a bit too much fun, you have like this level of this level of like disrespect. Might not be in your face, but when they're talking about you later, it's a different story.
Can people just be themselves and not worry about other people?
That's what you have to do because you have to live your life with them.
Yeah,
you know, it's
exactly.
Like you can't live your life for anyone else but yourself.
Exactly.
You know, and as long as you're running shit, boo, do your thing.
Exactly. You got that shit on lock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Look, guys, it's not as easy as it sounds, because this is like deep, deep, deep stuff. I mean, I remember my little sister used to love watching Nicki Minaj, you know, music videos and stuff on MTV. and you know, and stuff like that. And my mom had to say to me that, you know, my sister is watching Nicki Minaj, and my sister was like 13, 14, and she was trying to describe who Nicki Minaj, my mom was trying to describe who Nicki Minaj is to me, and she said, "La ntombazane idlala ngempuni."
Imagine, bruh.
That girl that plays with the bums on TV, you know, and it's clear that, you know, my mom probably, you know, doesn't like this at all, and she rejects it, and she hopes that her daughter does not want to do that, you know, and stuff like that. So I mean, what you're mentioning now about, you know, this is like prehistorical stuff dating from way back in a system that was very, very much a sexist system and so on. I mean, it is true, and but at the same time, it's so easy to frown upon it, to frown upon, you know, liberal ladies just twerking on TV. It's so easy to frown upon it because it's still
part of society.
It's still feel, you know, there's this young society that's so liberal, but then there's like the more conservative older people.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, there are young people who are also, on the side of the conservatives.
But she rips like a new gen. Like let me ask you like this, when you make music, right? So when you translate yourself into something that people can absorb, do you think of the generation you're trying to represent, and do you think of like these concepts, like these sexual freedom, like your expression as a woman, like your self-respect as a woman, you know, these type of things? Do you feel like, when some people say artists have a lot of influence, do you feel like that's a role you could play specifically as Nadia Nakai?
The thing is that I try not to do that because I want to be authentic to myself. And if I did that, I would definitely change the way I dress and I'll change the way that I rap and the topics that I talk about, because a lot of people aren't as liberated as half the country, I guess. So I'd always try to stay true to myself, and then the people that identify with me are my true fans, because that I can maintain. If I'm going to change myself, I can't maintain that. So I won't be able to maintain those fans.
So I like what you're saying, because the most important thing is you need to decide what influences you. Society will dictate that you should do things like this because they feel like that's not right. But you as an individual, being your authentic self, decide what influences you, and you need to be yourself at the same time, because if you're not, how will you ever influence society authentically?
Exactly.
That's a powerful thing.
Yeah. All right, cool. I mean, earlier we did ask about, you know, the black man and woman being a symbol of poverty at the moment. Is it still a thing? And we also got another comment right here from Hope.
Yes, the black man is still victim to poverty. The reality is that although this thing, democracy, has happened, there's been very little to no effort to see to it that the black man's mind has been rehabilitated. For such a long time, the conditioning of the black mind was that we are not enough, that we could never make that cut, that we could never stand on our own, that we are incapable. And the reality is that for most of us, that is still the conditioning. And until that is dealt with, we're still going to find ourselves dancing around the same circle, tangled up around the same rope, because the issue is in the mind. And that is not being dealt with. The black man has to come to a place where he believes that he is enough, because it has never been about the black man being incapable. It's always been about the black man believing that he is incapable.
Okay.
That's deep. That just gave me goosebumps.
Too poetic.
It's all about the black man believing that he's incapable. It is a lot of things that happen in your mind that actually restrict you from being great. And I've realized that. I know The Secret, y'all know, have all read that book because it was like crazy, or watched the movie. But it's the truth. Really, what you put in your mind becomes your reality.
Yeah.
That's so true. Like the thing, what I think Biko said it. He said the greatest oppressor is the mind of a black man.
Yeah.
And like that's the thing, man.
So basically we're our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
It's like it's that, crazy. Bro. It's like that. It's just the realization that I can be. I can achieve. Like, who
are
you?
I deserve it.
Like, I'm alive. Therefore, I deserve to live.
But I think that's what the youth are doing now with the Fees Must Fall. They're saying, I deserve education. And the people coming after me deserve education.
This is
not supposed to be something that is for the privileged or whatever. It's supposed to be something for everybody.
The biggest thing is your own worst enemy, but you're also your own liberator at the same time.
Yeah.
You just gotta make the choice.
Preach.
Hey.
Bars.
environment.
All right, cool. So let's zoom into Nadia. Nadia is doing a lot of things in music. What's coming up right now? What's new for you?
There's a lot new for me. Well, I'm very excited about Philip Orlando, which is happening in 7 days.
That's raga, 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 raga.
Very soon. Very soon. So excited. Like, I'm going for my fittings on Monday. And yeah. Fabulous. My new music video for Don't Cut It is coming really, really soon. They're busy editing, so I'm going to be dropping that soon. I'm thinking of working on another EP, like Braga, but like a Braga 2.0.
Okay.
And then there's a song that I'm going to be dropping, but it's not on the EP. So it's going to be, this is all probably this year. So, yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And then maybe and then probably the Braga tour will kick off from next year.
The grind is real, eh?
How about you warm us up for Philip Orlando? Just with
you guys have to come.
With a couple of bars. Yeah, we're going to come. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
He hit something. Hit something. Come on.
Sorry,
you're running away.
Sorry.
You're running away.
You guys talk too much. I really do have to go there. I've got another show. So
cool. Five second bar.
Bye.
She's here. All right, thank you very much for tuning in. This has been an absolutely fantastic show yet again. And thank you very much for everyone for contributing towards the show. It's been absolutely fantastic. Guys, any last words?
Hey, man. Be you. Live your life on your terms. And yeah, man, be your own liberator. That's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, I think like be as expressive as you can be and be you unapologetically because unapologetic people are usually the people that get a point across and usually the people that represent who they really are to the best of their ability, you know? So that's really a good example or a good representation of living your life.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been literally one of those short hours again, the shortest hour in the week. Thank you very much for everyone, as I said again, for contributing, for being part of this fantastic session. And until next time.
This is CliffCentral.com.